So the oh, and Bella, sorry, Bella's also on. Thank you. I'm on Zoom. So I was going down my list here and missed her name. So the first item on the agenda for next Monday night's general meeting will be the minutes from the special meetings of 10-8-2021 and 10-11-2021. So would you, council members, please review those, and we're not going to go through them all right tonight, but if you've got any additions or corrections, if you can let the clerk know, we'd appreciate that. And they're all in your pack. And the next item that'll be on the agenda next week, there's mayor's request for agenda changes, then committee and staff reports. We'll be hearing from the Gustavus Visitors Association with their quarterly report. The PFAS Action Coalition will be giving us a quarterly report. We'll have a report from the DRC, from Paul. The city treasurer will cover the monthly financials, get us up to speed and see where we are this far through the fiscal year. And city administrator will give us a report. And I'm not sure if Tom is on currently. Tom, are
you? I am, Mayor.
Did you want to say anything now to give us any prelim on your report, or do we wait for your big report?
Thanks, Mayor. Yes, I don't have a draft report submitted for this meeting. I got back into town after the cutoff period, but I'm available for questions if any of the council members have any questions.
Do any council members have any questions right now for this for city administrator? Looks like we don't have. By the way, I will let you know that Tom and I have been pretty busy dealing with the FEMA application to cover all of the repair work we did after the December flood. And it's a long process with a hugely complicated system that we have to put data into on a bunch of different projects. It's pretty frustrating, but we're making progress. We had another meeting with them today. We're down to where it looks like we are, you know, have all the information we that we need for the debris removal part of it and a lot of ditch cleaning and so forth. So we're hoping to move that on for if all gets approved for somewhere around $50,000 worth of refund from them to cover the money we spent on that. And that'll certainly be much appreciated because it'll go back into our road maintenance budget. And we continue to work with them on planning for some additional culvert installations and other work that is related to the flood that we have the opportunity to not only clean up from the flood, but make some real improvements. And there are various stages to this process. It's real complicated, and I've certainly appreciated working with Tom and all the time he's put in to qualify us for this complicated grant system. Moving on down the agenda, we'll have the next will be the consent agenda. And if any of you see a problem with any of these items, you could let the clerk know if you think it shouldn't be on the consent agenda, but One is this is our certificate of records destruction, which Karen continues to keep up with all of the record keeping requirements for us as a city. And that means sorting through all of our stuff. Some stuff times out, and so it's time to be destroyed. And that's what we do with the records destruction. So that'll be on the consent agenda. The next one will be, let's go on to the, right, here we are, the waiving the right to file a protest of the new alcohol license application for Sunnyside Market. So for those of you who are new to the council, this is something that comes up routinely with us. Those businesses that sell liquor have to renew their license periodically, or if there's a change of ownership, they have to do that so that they can continue to offer that service. And the alcohol agency, the state ABC board, gives us the opportunity to object it so that the city government, if it has a problem with the way a business owner has been conducting their business, we have an opportunity to object to their license renewal. And so routinely, I don't think we've ever had a problem with the license outlets that we have within the city of Gustavus. And so routinely what we do is notify the ABC board that we have no objection to the renewal of the license. And unless any of you have a problem with that, if you do, we can take it off the consent agenda and deal with it separately. But normally it's a routine item for us. Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay, looks like that's okay with folks. You understand that one. The next item on the consent agenda is the FY22 NCO for endowment fund grant transfer. And I'd like to call on our finance department here to give us a quick summary of what that's about. Madam Treasurer or Phoebe, or whoever prepared to speak on that, please.
Well, hello. It's the Iwarda, the treasurer. And this item is, it was decided from motion in August 9th, 2021 meeting. To transfer $44,673.82 minus $12.53 to correct an error that was on this account. So we deducted on this $44,673.82. So it became $44,661.29. That is being transferred to our endowment fund checking account.
Thank you, Madam Treasurer. And this is, we are publishing this for hearing at the December meeting. And at that meeting, we'll actually complete the NCO. And that's a routine thing that we do every year to put the money in the checking account so it's ready to provide to grantees after they are approved in December. So any questions on that? Anybody? Okay, I don't see any questions on that one. So. At this point, we have no ordinances for public hearing this month. There's nothing that we published last month for hearing this month. And no unfinished business. There'll be, it seems strange to say there's no unfinished business around here, but that's the way it is. Under new business, we've got an award for the RFQ that we put out for snow plowing. And we have that up on the screen now. This is an RFQ that we put out every fall to set rates for snow plowing during the winter. And normally we have at least one respondent and sometimes more, but at least one. And we determine a cost per mile and also the cost for plowing individual lots. And in fact, maybe if you go back up one, Madam Clerk, sorry for that blank page in between there. Now the Glacier Bay Construction was our only respondent to this bid. And they notified us that this year they have to do some repairs on a plow truck, their major plow truck, and it's going to be out of service for a good part of the winter. So they asked to respond and provide quotes for only the primary roads, and that they would be prepared to plow because they'll have only one piece of equipment, their motor grader, to plow. And so they have submitted a bid, but have crossed out, as you can see on the screen here, a lot of the smaller roads that they are not confident they would be able to get to. So, but they have agreed to plow and given us a bid for plowing all of the lots, like in front of the fire hall, the entrance to City Hall, the boat harbor, the community chest, the library, and so forth. So those are all covered. What we'll have to do this general meeting is accept this as a bid for those roads, and then the city administrator and I will need to figure out a way to get the rest of the roads plowed. And we had something like this come up about 5 or 6 years ago, and we came up with a way of doing that on a one-off basis with several smaller plowing outfits. And we'll have to figure out something with that. But for now, we do need to approve this or award this snow plowing contract for the roads that they have agreed that they would be able to plow. And at least we're set up to do that should we get a big snowfall, say early this month. But we will continue to figure out a way to do the rest of it. Any questions on that from anybody? Boy, everybody's pretty silent here. So, but that's the action. I may be able to tell you more about what we're doing for a way to supplement that snow plowing by next week. We'll see what we can come up with. Okay, then the next item under new business will be to accept the RFP, the proposal for the Good River Bridge engineering repairs. This is a consultant. This is for consultant work. And do we have that on the, we've got that in the packet, I think. Okay, that's, if you have it, yeah, could you just pull it up, at least show the cover of it? And there we are, thank you. So to give you a little more background on this, this is the Good River Bridge. You can see the photo of it there in the picture. A few of you were here when, like I was, when this was built in the about 40 years ago. It was built with state money. I think it cost $60,000 originally to build that bridge. It's a timber bridge. Every year or every other year, the bridge gets inspected by the state bridge inspectors. And in recent years, they've been notifying us of deficiencies, things that are like a guardrail post rotting, decking wearing out, that sort of thing. Generally, you know, over the last few years, they've been fairly minor, and we have not actually done any corrective work on it. This year, we hope to kind of catch up on that. I think it's really important to keep critical infrastructure like this bridge serviceable, and I want to make sure it's in the kind of condition that it'll last another 40 years or more. So there's an increasing issue, though, that worries me at the northwest corner. So that's the far end of the bridge on the right, and you can't see it, the issue in the photo very well, but we have a slumping embankment there just beyond the, just where the guardrail starts there going off the far end of the bridge due to the undercutting by the stream that comes in into a channel and into the river right next to the bridge there. And as with isostatic rebound, that stream is cutting deeper and deeper, and we're getting some slumping of that embankment. And there's some concern that eventually we're going to have to stabilize that embankment, or we could have some more serious problem with the bridge. So we decided to engage an engineering consultant with expertise in geotechnical work and bridges like this to advise us on what action we should take. So we put out a request for proposal for consulting services for an engineering firm. And this is an item that's been in our budget for this last year, to have them advise us on that embankment problem, and then also on the rest of the repairs for the bridge, and to give us a report with what they think we need to do or not do. It's possible we don't have to do anything, but we want to know that we're not going to lose this bridge in the next few years or something due to a problem that we overlooked. So we put out a request for proposal. That's in your packet here. When you're doing a request for proposal for engineering services, you're working with a consultant, not with a construction contractor, and the arrangements are a little different. We get a proposal from them on the way they plan to address the problem and approximate cost. And the city then looks at the qualifications of those firms that proposed and chooses one. Well, as it turns out, only one engineering firm of the several that we asked actually made a proposal. And so it's PND Engineering in Juneau. And so what's on our agenda here, we as an administration recommend awarding the consultant contract to this engineering firm so that they can move forward with giving us the advice that we need. So it's on the agenda for approval by the council give the engineering firm the contract to do that. And then based on what their findings are, we would put out a construction RFQ or invitation to bid as necessary to do the actual construction work. So the construction work would be a separate item and probably something that we would do like next summer. So any questions on that? Oh, by the way, the estimated cost for the engineering work is somewhere around is $15,000, but that could vary a lot depending on if they come out and say, oh, this is an easy problem, we don't need to spend that much time, then they don't charge us as much, but we would expect something on the order of the amount that they put on the last page, which was like 15,500 or something like that. So any questions on that?
This is Tanya Mike. I have a question or a couple questions. This money for this bridge evaluation and engineering has been approved in this year's budget, correct?
That's correct. And in fact, we had about 15,000 in it.
And that, you know, our new council members might not be aware of how we do that. Would you want to give a real quick rundown on how we approve the budget in, I actually can't remember when we did that, when we start approving the budget for the next year and try to stay within those parameters, right?
Right. Thank you, Councilmember Lewis. Yes, in the spring of each year, we develop the budget for the coming fiscal year, and that budget addresses the general things in the operating budget, and this was an item that we put in the operating budget to, it's in the capital budget. Okay, sorry, I'm corrected. Yeah, this item we actually had in the capital budget. So we do a capital budget update each year. And in this case, we put in money just for the consulting contract in the capital budget. And so that's what we're working from. And the capital budget, by the way, includes expenses that can expand or can cross in across fiscal years. So you do it when you get to it. Some of the construction projects take more than, you know, a given fiscal year to do. So at any rate, that's it's in the capital budget for 15,000 something. Thanks. Any other questions on that? In my rambling, did I cover that well enough? Okay, I guess you can look over the proposal there in your packet and be prepared to vote on it next Monday. Okay, the next item that we had on the agenda, and I'm proposing actually not to keep it on the agenda for us to take any particular action on this month, was a scoping document that I developed for a hardened beach trail and campfire site improvement. In our CRMA with the state for the beach, there's been a plan to, or an option or possibility of developing a hardened trail that would make it a little easier for people if they're in a wheelchair or otherwise have some mobility problems to walk out to the viewing bench on the west side of the beach park and to the campfire area. Many of these people used to be able to drive out there, and they can't, some of them can't get there now. And those of us who have worked on the beach have hoped that our beach park could be something that is accessible and usable and enjoyable by everybody in the community, that there should be something there for everybody. And so we've looked at various options for how to improve accessibility for those who might not be able to walk out there. One member of the community suggested, how about developing a project for that trail and maybe consider even using either an endowment fund grant for it or putting it on our capital list. There are a number of different views about whether this should be done or whether this is the right solution. And many of the beach advocates are, you know, are various mixed opinions on what to do there. So I developed this as a sort of as an example of a possibility. And it appears to me that we need a little more time to judge whether the public is really behind this and whether this is really the right approach. So rather than put it on the agenda and ask you to approve it, I'm just putting it out there for you to give some thought to and think about whether this is the kind of solution or is a good thing to do or not, and whether there's some other way to meet the objectives of making the beach park accessible for all of our residents and visitors as well. So that's what that is. You can look at that as a possible project, and we can, there's no rush that we do this, make any decisions on this for even quite a while, but I'd like council members to think it over, and we'd like to hear more from the public about what they would like to do. So do any of you have any questions? Looks like Councilmember Lewis has a question.
Yes, thank you. The CRMA is a plan for our beach that the city created in conjunction with the state, correct?
Yes, it stands for Cooperative Resource Management Agreement. And since the property is the state's property, when beach advocates approached the city starting about four or five years ago, asking to create a beach park there, we suggested to the group that using a CRMA with the state might be a way of us being able to achieve that, so we didn't have to try to ask the state to do it. And it would give us management authority in conjunction with the state over that property. And the CRMA has a development plan in it. Now, we're also in the process, by the way, of updating that CRMA. We've made some recommendations to the state to fill in some gaps and correct their description, the original description of the property boundaries and things like that. And that is still sitting on DNR's, in DNR's Southeast office. And we're trying to get them to move forward on that as well. But go ahead again.
Oh, well, so my second part, this happened before I was on the council, and probably before anyone else was on the council. So can we, as council members, review the draft changes or wherever the plan is at its current state? And then we would have more. And then also, is there anything else we can do to finalize the changes? That would all help us be able to have educated opinions about this, whether or not, or when is the right time to do this path.
I would be very happy to send that, the draft that we negotiated with DNR, and that they've agreed verbally with us, or actually an email. And I will send that out there. The one thing that you won't see in it is they still have to write in the description of tract B2 on the east side, the boundaries of it, which we could not do. And they need to write that in. And then they need to get the director to sign off on it before we can then bring it back to our council to approve. So, yeah, I'll send it out, and you'll see how it. We believe it's a much improved CRMA from the original version, and we'll put the city in a better position to manage it and meet the needs of the community. Thanks. Any other questions?
I'm sorry, I can't raise my hand. But just so the council and folks on the line know, a copy of the signed current CRMA is on our website under the city department's page and administration.
So that would be the, Madam Clerk, I take it as the original CRMA. Yeah, so we'll send you the updated one, which we think straightens out some issues that were left with gaps in them in the original one. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. I hope you'll all get familiar with this project. Oh, Councilmember Vanderzanden, I think, has a question.
Yeah, it's been my experience that anytime the subject of the beach comes up, it's everybody starts choosing size. It's real divisive. And so I'm glad that the mayor here is suggesting that we take our time on this. According to the beach development plan, anything that we do there has to be appropriate to the collective desires of the citizens of Gustavus, which is nearly an impossible thing to do. But I think the best way is just to take our time and people to think about it and talk to people that they know that have trouble walking out there that are handicapped. Collect ideas, talk with your neighbors, and submit those ideas as they come to you. And eventually we can weigh them and hopefully come up with something good. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that's your right on, Councilmember Vanderzanden. It's exactly what we need. And I encourage everybody to get familiar with it and give us your input. It's the community's beach. And let's find a way to make it as usable and create a facility for everybody that we can. I think that takes us through the agenda that we'll be addressing next Monday night. So it will not have on it that scoping document as it's listed there. We'll put that aside for now. I wanted to go on to some other items on our meeting agenda here. And the first is the Wilson Road Drainage Rehabilitation Project. This is part of our major flood control work that we're doing in response to the kinds of flood that we got last December. It used to be that, the way these floods happen is when we get an atmospheric river, really heavy rainfall, there's especially heavy rainfall in the upper elevations of the Salmon River up in the park, much higher rainfall than we get down here at near sea level. And the river rises to an elevation in December, it was over 16 feet on the river gauge. And when that happens, the river overflows its channel up in the park and flows down through some overflow channels and into the gravel pits. And from the gravel pits is trying to make its way to the sea. And the route that we would like it to go, the East Airport Ditch, is the primary route. But in December, a combination of that ditch being too clogged with vegetation and so forth, meaning it couldn't handle the capacity, and too many ways for the water to bypass the ditch and get onto Wilson Road and Ring Creek Road, meant that we had floods onto Ring Creek Road and especially down Wilson Road. And for those of you who were here in December and saw it, it was like a river coming down Wilson Road. And that river then flowed into the subdivisions along Wilson Road from Chase on down to White, particularly down Chase. and headed towards the river, unfortunately, through a lot of people's yards and did a lot of damage. And so our solution to that has been to berm off the southwest pit pond so that the flood can't escape out of that pond and bypass the culvert there that's at the bend of the road at the top of Wilson, where Wilson becomes Rink Creek, to force it into that culvert. And then at our request, the state DOT, Jeff Jarvis, has cleaned most of the most of the east side airport ditch so that it can handle flow a lot better. And that improvement actually worked in August when we had another atmospheric river event. In that case, the river gauge was only about 15 feet. So it wasn't as high as December, but it was enough that it flowed, it overflowed into the pits. And the ditch work that we had done to direct that into the east side airport ditch did handle it. And the airport ditch itself handled it reasonably well. The southern end of that airport ditch is still to be cleaned, and its DOT is clearing the PFAS consideration there before they can finish the actual cleaning of the rest of the ditch down at the far end of the airport. But the controls that we put into place after December, the December flood, largely worked. However, we are concerned that with continued climate change and heavier and heavier rainstorms, that we could get more of the 16 or more foot river height events, and we could have water bypassing the east side airport ditch and still getting onto Wilson Road. So for that purpose, we are increasing the ditching on Wilson Road, and the and we are replacing a culvert that takes water from the west side of Wilson Road to the east side at Chase. And we are extending the deep ditch on the east side of the of Wilson Road up past the Fish and Game Cabin and putting a culvert in under the driveway to the Fish and Game Cabin. So the Wilson Road drainage rehabilitation project, we have designed to do that work, and we are writing it for a refund by FEMA under one of two programs. And over this last weekend, we got they notified us that we had to put a whole bunch of federal contracting boilerplate into our RFQ. So I did that over the weekend. The RFQ that you've been emailed, it's not in our packet because we haven't put it out publicly yet, but it's emailed to council members, will have another few pages of federal boilerplate in it, but essentially it's still the same project. So that's one RFQ that we are developing and planning to put out soon. There's another RFQ to add riprap at the culvert, the Wilson Rink Creek Road culvert, to stabilize that culvert. In the August atmospheric river event, we had a big sinkhole develop at the culvert. Fortunately, our contractor was on hand and quickly dumped some of our supply of 6-inch minus rock into the hole and stabilized it. But we have decided that we need to further riprap the entrance and exit of that culvert with that heavier rock to make sure that we don't lose the culvert in another big event. It'd be very expensive if that washed out. So I've completed another RFQ to do that. Now, what I am suggesting is that we go ahead and put these two RFQs out for bids in the next few days here. Sometimes in the past, the council has wanted to approve the issuing of RFQs before they go out. And there, in the old days, there was a reason for that when RFQs were all done by committees, and the council wanted to make sure they controlled everyone, and that the RFQ did project did not conflict with another project. In our more mature administrative operation here, I don't think that's necessary. But if any of the council members feel that they want to approve these RFQs before we put them out on the street to get bids, then we can put them on the agenda for next week and delay issuing them. Either way, when we get bids in on these RFQs, the council will be required to award the projects to the bidders before we actually give them a notice to proceed. So the council still has an opportunity to decide whether the bid is something that they find acceptable and they're willing to award the bid to the lowest bidder. So my recommendation is that we go ahead and put these out on the street for bids, and they'll be out for 10 days. And then when they close, we'll bring them back to the council for award at the next month's meeting. And then we hope we can proceed to get these things, these two projects done quickly before we get another big storm event that challenges our drainage system. So any questions on those two items? Councilmember Lewis, please.
Thank you. Just wondering, well, first of all, you said that both of these will, two questions, will both of these will likely be reimbursed with the FEMA money? And then the question number two is, do we feel pretty sure that neither would have any ill effects in spreading PFAS to new areas?
Well, I wish I could be absolutely certain that that FEMA will reimburse or what they would reimburse. But I'll tell you, if you've been working with Tom and me for the last 8 months with FEMA, you would know why I am always skeptical. But they are not big projects, probably on the order of $10,000 each. So you know, they're the kinds of things we can do in our existing budget, but we are designing the projects and writing all of the contract documents so that we hope they will qualify. The Wilson Road drainage rehabilitation one is more clear. It actually has two parts. The first part is flood recovery because the culvert underneath Wilson Road at Chase is damaged, has sediment in it, and was damaged somewhat when the ditches were cleared of sediment. So half of that is pretty sure. The other half of it, extending the ditch on the east side and installing the culvert at Fish and Game, which, by the way, the Fish and Game Department bought the culvert and gave it to us. We just agreed to put it in when we did the ditch. That part falls under a different mitigation grant program that we still have to apply for this month. So, and the Ring Creek culvert riprap is fairly small, but we think it will probably qualify under mitigation as well. It's not correcting damage that was done by the December flood, so it doesn't fall under that flood program. It's a mitigation program. We're trying to foresee the kinds of things that we're going to be faced with in disasters going forward with climate change, as all cities have to do these days. And so both of these are aimed at positioning us so that we don't have floods that get into our subdivisions or cause major road damage. With regard to PFAS, neither of them are work in an area that is currently a PFAS, an area with samples exceeding the limits. We're just extending the ditch north along the east side of from Chase going north. And material out of the ditch will be side cast, so it's all staying right there, but it's not an area with a PFAS problem. The PFAS problem for that ditch really begins down opposite far away where the state needs to clear the west side airport ditch that leads into Glenn's ditch, and we're continuing to work with them to deal with that on the state level. Does that help?
Yes, thank you so much, and thanks for your work in figuring all this out, you and Tom. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to get something done with these things that we know is going to actually benefit the community for decades in the future, we hope so. Okay, look at my schedule.
Mayor Taylor.
Yes. Madam Clerk.
I just need to know whether these are going to be going on the agenda next week or not. I didn't hear a response from the council regarding.
Thank you. Yes, it's important that we clarify that. Does anybody object to us putting these two RFQs out administratively? And if so, we don't have to deal with it on the next week's agenda. So if you have a comment on that. Looks like we're okay for just moving forward to get these things out to bid, and hope to get the work done promptly. The next item is an RFP that the next item we want to discuss, and we could put on the agenda if you feel is necessary. It's a similar situation. In this case, our DRC manager, Paul Berry, has developed with input from the city administrator and from me, an RFP, that's a request for proposal. Again, this is for engineering services or consulting services. This is not for construction. And it is for design work for the building, for building replacement at the DRC. And I believe Paul Berry is on the line. And Paul, would you like to give a summary of what this is about and explain why this is beneficial? Paul, I'm not seeing you come off of mute.
How about that? Can you hear me?
Great. We can. Thank you. Proceed.
Okay. I'll try to be brief. The RFP is to work with an engineering firm, ideally one that has a background in doing transfer stations or other things associated with solid waste, and is to come up with basically a plan. A building conceptual design, the layout, just a lot of different things. So in my document that I'm kind of drafted for putting out, it tells these firms what we want. Things like a public sorting area, a commercial sorting area, space for equipment, which includes space for a larger baler than we currently have. And one of the key things about this building is that it is designed for a different level of use, because currently we use equipment inside the building, but our building was not designed to have equipment in it. We can't push against the walls, and we don't have barriers, by our openings and stuff. So, operators can kind of back into things that they shouldn't without any kind of, protection or, steel ballards. So it's kind of to take our level operation to a higher level and a much safer level as far as separating the public better from the equipment. And again, the building will be larger because it's designed around the time of year that we have our peak flows, waste flows, which is July. In case any of you have been to the DRC in July, the trash is just about flowing out the door. So we want to have a building that, you know, can accommodate that kind of waste flows in our peak season. And then it's also designed around traffic flow, because you notice now the DRC has people line up, you know, and wait, you know, and only serves two cars at a time with one car in the back, you know, so that's kind of to keep doing that. But because the building would be larger, it would kind of push that area out south. So my whole thing is to kind of put my ideas and concerns out there for an engineering firm to look at. Hopefully they'll be intrigued by our project and interested in working with us, because we are a unique facility in terms of how much we recycle and what we do for a very small community. I'm looking for a building that is very low energy use, same as the current one. It would be unheated except for an equipment service area and a small booth for the scale operator, you know. So I'm trying to make a building that is cheap to operate. It may be expensive to build because there will be a lot of concrete involved, but it will be affordable to use. That's my goal. And this is kind of a bucket list project for me. I want to see it through while I'm still working for the city, because I kind of, you know, it's probably going to take a couple years to get this going and to get it built. But, you know, I'm behind it and I want it to happen. So, yeah, Mike described the process for it. And that was just, yeah, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to take them. Thank you.
Councilmember Vanderzanden has hand up.
Yeah, Paul, I understood before that you might have been looking at a metal kit building, which I thought would have been pre-engineered, but have you given up on that and gone to just a stick?
Not necessarily, but what is key here is a push wall, a concrete push wall, because I want to step up our game and be able to use equipment to load a baler as opposed to doing everything by hand, because this will allow us to process more waste with less time. You have to be able to push against something. If a metal building can accommodate the push wall, great. You know, so that's not really, I don't really care if it's a metal building or stick frame. I'm really more concerned about the functionality of the building and its cost. So if metal is affordable and is easy to integrate our concerns into, then I'm all for it.
So this is actually an architectural firm you're looking at that could design the whole thing plus the floor plan to make it work for you.
That's correct. Yeah, because I'm not an architect. You know, if you look at our current building, that's kind of what you get when you take, you know, talent such as mine and put something up. You know, there's things you overlook. Yes, it's more inexpensive, but there's quite a few things you end up overlooking. And that's why I really, you know, I want a professionally designed building that was, you know, designed for handling solid waste.
Just one more question. Do you have a rough idea of the size you're looking at?
When I kind of put together, you know, as far as, okay, I want things like a public sorting area and a commercial sorting area, a room for two balers, one horizontal, one vertical, a glass pulverizer, and potentially a shredder. My kind of list as far as the size when you add them all up is somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 square feet. But again, if you look at the RFP that I'm putting out, I'm not listing any of those sizes because I really want to get the engineering firm to kind of give me their idea so I can compare it to my idea and see, you know, where those two lie. But in my estimations, it is between 5,000 and 6,000 square feet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe, for that question that I think is helpful to everybody. Any other questions for Paul on this RFP? And also, does anybody object to us putting out that RFP administratively as we're doing with the RFQs, if it's something that you want to put on the agenda for approval before it goes out, then let us know. Anybody comments on that? Okay, it sounds like we'll not have to add that to the agenda for next week, and we'll polish it up. We still have some formatting to do on it, and then we'll get it out for proposals from the engineering consultants, and we'll be on our way maybe to a much needed improvement at the DRC. The next item I have on the agenda, sort of informational, but it deals with our road maintenance management process here. So that's not what's on the screen right now, but it's deals with road maintenance team members is the item we're on now. And the during the last couple of years, the way we've been managing road maintenance, we've had sort of an in-house team. Joe Clark and I served as council members and worked with City Administrator Tom Williams. And the three of us sort of kept track of what the needs were for the roads and went out and looked at the roads and decided what sorts of what work was necessary, worked with our contractor to get it done and so forth. We go out and when the work's getting done, we go out and observe what's happening and make sure it's getting done in the way that we wanted. I really appreciated Joe Clark's participation in our road maintenance team while he was on the council, but he's now off and I need a little bit of help on this. And so Louis Sharman has offered to help out on join the road maintenance team. And then also we have the wonderful assistance of Todd Boris, who's a professional engineer, has property here. He works for DOT in Juneau, but spends a lot of time out here. His property's at the corner of Chase and Wilson. If you happen to look at those, the RFQs that we've developed, the drawings in those RFQs were done by Todd. So Todd provides us with a level of civil engineering expertise that we lacked otherwise. I was a mechanical engineer and Todd's really good at doing the civil work and he knows drainage projects and road projects and culverts and all of that. So, and he does wonderful drawings for us. So he's sort of our technical guy for helping develop the specs plan our work. So that's the team that I have in mind. However, if there are other council members who are interested in road maintenance work and want to sort of join us, participate with us, we could have at most only one more, if we went over three, we'd be into a problem with the Open Meetings Act. And we're not organizing this as an advisory team. It's an administrative function. So we can have at most, the most we could have would be three council members without getting into Open Meetings Act issues. So if anybody else is interested in doing some of that, or even occasionally, let me know. And by the way, I'm delighted, we're all delighted to have comments from the public when there's a need. We don't always spot the road that has got badly rutted or whatever. So we appreciate hearing from the public and from other council members. So I urge all of you to let us know whenever you think there's a need for the roads and we'll try to get them done. So So let me know if any of the rest of you want to be involved in any road maintenance work. Does anybody have any questions on that one? Okay, that looks good. The next one, I'm not going to let you off the hook on not commenting on. We put on a discussion of individual council interests and goals. And what I'd really like to do is hear from you all about the kinds of things that you would like to accomplish while you're on the council. Are there projects that I can help you see through? If there's contracting or something like that, or if there's maybe you want to look at something like improvements to our ordinances or marine facilities work. Joe's been very involved in marine facilities. He's also been involved in the gravel pit operation, and I really appreciate his input on those things. But I'd like you to raise your hand so I don't have to just call on you otherwise. And let me know what sort of interest you're in. You know, even if it's sort of general, you want to do social media or something like that. So let me know what you are interested in doing. Comments, anybody?
Mike. Sorry, I just need to back you up a second. You skipped over endowment fund grant working group.
Okay, thank you. I skipped that. That's a pretty important thing for us to do. Councilmember Lewis, Tanya Lewis, has agreed to take a lead on the endowment fund grant evaluations. The grant period ended yesterday. And so we need to evaluate the applications that have come in and make a recommendation to the council. So before we go on to the discussion with individual council interests, let's hear if there some of the rest of you would like to join Councilmember Lewis. We could have up to three council members on this so we don't get into Open Meetings Act issues. And you would review the applications and make recommendations to the council as to how we should award the funding for this year. So who's interested in helping Councilmember Lewis? Looks like we have, let's hear Bella Furr first, Councilmember Furr.
Hi everyone. I am paying attention, Mike, I swear, even though I'm awfully quiet over here. I am interested in working with Tanya on the endowment fund. That seems for two reasons. One, because I want more experience with grants. So this would help me just take a better look at grant writing and what, you know, community efforts are being put out there. Also, I think I need a little bit more context for other projects before I dive into other things. But as you're talking about this, I'm super interested in helping. So maybe more to come in the future.
Thank you, Councilmember Furr, you're on. And Councilmember Jill VanderZanden is also offering it up, it looks like.
I'd be happy to work with Tanya on that. I missed that last year, so I could do that.
Wonderful, excellent group. I look forward to hearing your recommendations. So you are all, you may consider yourselves appointed. Okay, let's go back onto the item that I, before I skipped over that first and that last item. So the I'd like to hear from you what sorts of things you'd like to work on. Does somebody want to work on beach issues or maybe taking a look at some of our ordinance? We have ordinances that could be reviewed. There are a lot of there are social media policies. And you probably think of lots of things that I don't. And I'm interested in helping you be successful at getting something done that's important to you and that you feel is important to the community. So, who'd like to offer up some ideas?
This is Jim Muscovia. Can you hear me?
I can, Jim. Please proceed.
It's the pedestrian bicycle walkways, and you know, it's a safety issue. It's probably long term, but it would greatly enhance, I think, the livability and the safety in Gustavus.
I'd be delighted to see you take a lead on that. And by the way, there's another area that some of you might want to consider, and that's more walking trails. There's been a lot of interest. I know I've heard from a number of people in the community who are interested in volunteering time to develop plans for, you know, develop projects to improve walking trails for residents and for visitors. So that's another thing some of you could.
Yeah, totally. It's interesting because the ditch work that was done around the north end and the east end of the airport, I mean, there's a nice dike there and it's a darn nice place to walk.
Indeed it is. Anything else, Jim, that you'd like to pursue as a council member or that you want help from?
I think I'd just like to be generally helpful in projects that are ongoing.
That's great. Okay, anybody else? There are things also like developing contracts with the charter operators or things like that too. So what sorts of things are important to you as council members? I'm anxious. Vice Mayor Bishop, what do you see as important to you in this next year?
What I see as important, can you guys hear me all right? Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
What I see as important is some transparency and making sure that the public is heard. I know that there's been some issues recently and some things have been brought to light and some letters have been written, and it seems like there's been some public comment lately that not everybody is being heard with things not being read into the record. So I'd like to just advocate for the people that, although we may disagree on certain things, that everybody is being heard equally. So that's going to be my mission.
An excellent mission. Thank you. We all need to try to make our city work for the whole population, whether they voted for us or not. Our idea is to make it work and everybody to feel represented, that they have a voice. And boy, I think that's a real important goal. And as Vice Mayor, you're in a good position to maximize that, and you'll have my support. Thanks. Who else? By the way, if some of you have some special skills too, you'd like to offer us some particular background that you have that would be particularly useful for making us a better city. We'd like to. Councilmember Lewis, if we have any bears, we know who to turn.
Thanks. Yeah, I'll just mention a few things that we started last year that I want to continue on. And one is indeed issues with bears getting fish waste and compost at the harbor, as well as sea lions getting fish waste at the dock. And I think we made some good headway in getting a place for people to put their fish waste at the harbor. So want to continue working on that. I think that's really important for our safety and working with the charter operators for them to understand that it's just not acceptable to create food conditions, sea lions at the dock. It's just very dangerous for everyone. I think one of the most pressing issues in the city is the PFAS issue. And so I want to continue to work on that and make sure that our efforts for flood mediation and drainage don't inadvertently cause any more problems, and see how and if we can clean up the areas that are contaminated. One of the things that came up in the last budget cycle is that while we have had no trouble paying for our road maintenance, that money, a lot of the money that has paid for our road maintenance has dried up. So we don't have a sustainable budget for roads right now, as far as I understand it. And I think that's very important, that we need to either generate some more revenue or make some cuts so that the roads are covered. It does seem to me on the council for a year now, and having been on it before, that roads are the most important thing to our community, as far as I can tell. Well, maybe not more important than, you know, health, but people really feel strongly about the roads. And so I think we need to figure out how to make sure they're funded. And then similar to Vice Mayor Bishop, I want to do what I can to not only listen to all people, but also help, you know, if we can heal this rift that has developed in the community that seems to be largely based on COVID-19 and differences in opinions of how to best deal with that. And hopefully you all had a chance to read the letter that I sent to folks that complained about the election because of our mask mandates. And I'm just open to any ideas. I think we all need to be open to any ideas. Like, for example, in my conversations with a couple of people, one thing that came up was, would we consider having a meeting outside, making a fire, and maybe the council, you know, in one area, and people telling us, you know, a town hall outside so that everybody could come, and masks would be optional. That's just one person's suggestion. This is, I think, we need to get creative and figure out how we can all work together and all be comfortable, because the divisiveness is just tearing us apart. So I want to help with that. And that's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Lewis. I forgot to have us read the vision statement, but you just hit ideas that for all of the four bullet points of our vision statement, from protecting our environment to having a sustainable infrastructure that supports our economy and our lifestyle, to all members taking social responsibility to actively participate in decision-making and so forth, affecting these things. And I think in your last item, you are supporting the idea that we will be the kind of community in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions. So you're hitting all of those things in our vision statement. And I'm really pleased that you're willing to address these, and you'll have my support in doing so. So let me know how I can help. Did we hit everybody? Let's see, Councilmember Vander Zand, did you want to add? I don't know that you spoke up on this specifically. Do you have something else you'd like to? Okay, he says his ideas have been covered. He's here in the room. So we look forward to working with Joe on things like marine facilities and the gravel pit issues that he has a lot of expertise in. I suppose I had to say something about what I'm interested in. First off, I'd like to help all of you be successful in achieving the kinds of things that you think are important to our community, and giving you the support that I can as mayor, as an experienced project manager, and so forth. Beyond that, as the mayor is the chief administrator of the city and delegates administrative duties to the city administrator, but the mayor is still responsible for the administration of the city and for seeing that all the functions of the city work for the people. And so one of my major goals is to try to is sort of continuous improvement in how we provide our services and the quality of our services for the public. We're a fairly small city, of course. We're a second-class city. We have about 8 employees, most of whom are part-time. So we're a fairly small operation. We have certain authorized powers or areas that we are authorized by the public to provide services in and to do. There are things that we are not authorized to do, like we're not authorized to do animal control or police powers or planning and zoning, that sort of stuff. But the things that we are authorized to, it's my goal that we do them all very well. And we try to stick to our knitting, do the things that we can do well and find ways to do them better and try to meet the needs of all members of our community. So my goal is pretty much to try to make our city function in support of the community lifestyles and economy as well as we can. I am interested in doing that rather than trying to add on new functions and so forth. And of course, if the public demands new functions, we can, as a council, consider them and decide whether we can do them well and whether we have enough revenue to do them and so forth. But to my way of thinking, the most important thing is to do what we're already authorized to do and to do it as well as we can. So that's kind of the approach that you'll see from me as mayor. But I'm always open to new ideas from the rest of you, and I'm sure I'll be hearing from you as we do from the rest of the public. Does anybody else have any other comments on things that they would like to see get done? Is there anybody I've missed, we missed hearing from, that still wants to comment as a council member on what they'd like to see? Councilmember Furr.
Just over here thinking about what I can offer. I facilitate a lot of meetings for my day job. So if the city clerk or anyone needed help with packets or meeting facilitation or anything like that, I am more than willing to help with like the logistics of everything.
I see the clerk cheering your offer of support. So thank you very much. That's an area that we can do a lot better on. In fact, one thing we've got to think about that we haven't discussed tonight, but that's how we go forward with our meetings. It's not something we specifically posted on our agenda for tonight, but as a work session, we can talk about anything we want. And we just can't take final action on them. But if we need to be thinking about how we do our work sessions and general meetings, whether at some point we'll be able to come back to doing to perhaps all meeting here in City Hall. Right now, we don't have the technology yet to do that and broadcast it over Zoom, but we are continually considering, you know, and working so that eventually we'll get back to that where we can have more public in the in here in the audience and everybody can feel safe about it. We all of course hope that the pandemic will ease off and it'll make it easier. By the way, I should mention we have boosted our ventilation rates in the library. We're using portable HEPA filtered ventilation systems in the library and the city hall here. We anticipate buying more of those and are considering things like a heat recovery ventilation system for City Hall that would increase the ventilation rates here in City Hall so that even after the pandemic, we'd have better conditions here and be less likely to, say, transmit flu or colds or whatever. So we're learning a lot from what we can do with buildings to improve our public health controls here and allow people to go about their business and participate in their city government without fear of transmission of disease and so forth. So I'll look forward to hearing from you, from any council members at any time about what you'd like to do or if you have any ideas for how we operate in coming months. For now, we'll stick pretty much to what we've got now, but I am looking forward to seeing public faces in here in City Hall at some time. And it'll be really nice to get back to that. Looks like Councilmember Lewis has a comment on that.
Yes, thanks for bringing that up. We have had quite a few people wanting to come to our meetings. And one person in particular who's really been wanting to come for a long time. And I don't know that we can continue to claim that we don't have the technology because we held a meeting on October 8th, I believe, when we counted the votes. And from what I can tell, it was successful. So I guess I would propose that our general meetings that we, all the council comes and has enough space to be socially distanced and that we figure out how many people can fit in town hall, in city hall, socially distanced, six feet apart with masks. And we limit it to that number, maybe first come, first serve. Because I think that's one of the things about the transparency and a lot of people commenting on just that Zoom's not the same, that we're losing our personal connections and all that. So it seems like a pretty simple way to initiate the, personal connections again is not opening it up like the old days where it's a crowded city hall, but just making the efforts to start where we meet there and that we would allow a small number of masked individuals in. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanya. And if you and Bella would like to work with the city clerk and who of course thinks deeply about these issues being centrally involved in it and what work. She can explain right now what some of our continuing technical issues are. We're still waiting for some equipment that, who knows, maybe it's on a container ship off of Long Beach somewhere at anchor, but we're still waiting for, and that's part of it. I will work on ventilation issues for City Hall, being sort of the engineer type. And if you guys would like to work with our city clerk and see what you can come up with, what might work, kick some ideas around, and then let's.
That sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all. I think, Madam Clerk, have I gone through all the agenda? Did I miss something?
Yeah, you were going to discuss the newly elected officials training and work session that you were brainstorming.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I'd forgotten to put a note, add that onto the agenda thing that I was following. There is an online training available for council members, and a city clerk can sign you up for it. I took it last year. I'm going to do it again. It's on November 9 and 10 from AML, right? I think manages. And last year was really quite good. It is broadly general for municipalities. So it's not, of course, focused right on Gustavus because there are people from all over the state participating. But you'll hear from people who really know their business when it comes to things, well, like budgeting and conflicts of interest. What counts as a conflict of interest? What doesn't? Open Meetings Act issues. They're not always as straightforward as you might think. So there's a lot of good stuff in that training, and I would encourage everyone possible to sign up for it. So it's on 2 days, November 9 to 10. Some of you who are working, we believe that the sessions are recorded, and so we can probably arrange for you to do a recorded session if you're going to be at work on those 2 days. But I think it's really important to do. And then I am hoping that we can follow up with a sort of city-specific training that we could all participate in which we would look at how our own little city here is organized, how we operate, what our policies and procedures are, sort of what are the key things in our code of ordinances that describe our processes and say what the things we have to do to operate the city. So we'll hope to follow up before too long with some additional city-specific training too. But any of you who can, I strongly encourage you to sign up. Join me for that training on November 9 to 10. It's worth your time. And when we have this kind of training, it helps us all be on the same sheet of music as to what the expectations are for running a city and being the kind of effective city that we all intend us to be. So any questions on that? And I think the city clerk could answer specifically. She knows more about the.
Mayor Taylor, may I add to that just a little bit?
Please do.
Thank you. So I will need to make sure that I have enough registrations for each of you. I'm hoping that each of you have already just received one email from one council member. I'll need to know whether you plan on attending live in person the 9th and 10th, or if you will only be able to attend via the recording. And so if I don't hear from each of you by tomorrow afternoon, I will follow up, but and make sure that I get an answer one way or another, whether you're going to be there in person or via the recording, so that I can make sure I have enough registrations for you. I also want to be sure that you guys are working on the packet that I gave you for review. It'll be helpful to have brushed over a lot of that information prior to this training. I think that's it. Let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Do any council members have anything else they'd like to raise, or does any staff member who is working have anything that they think is important to update the council on? This is okay, well, looks like we've made it through our first work session for this new council, and thank you all for your participation. And if there's anything I can do to help you achieve what you're interested in getting done, be sure to let me know. And with that, we'll close our meeting for tonight. Thank you all for joining, and thank you in the public for tuning in and paying attention to what your city government is doing. Good.